Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
I binged the Sherry Papini documentary this weekend, and I need to talk to somebody about it ASAP.
She's the one that created the panini?
No, she did not create the panini. It's Papini, not panini. 1-855-BURT-SHOW, 855-237-8746. Is she a liar or is she a truth teller? Is she the victim? Is she the villain? Whose side are you on here? Because you are getting two completely different stories. And the problem is she lied out the gate. So I'm going to lay it out real quick for you as there's a lot of detail here. So if you're not familiar, don't call. but you can like listen, and it's a fascinating look into someone's mindset as to why she lied and whether we should believe her now. Because if it's like, if you're once a liar, are you always a liar?
Okay.
So what had happened was last year, there was a documentary that came out called Perfect Wife on Hulu. All right. And it's about Sherry Papini and her husband, Keith. Back in 2016, she went missing. They found her phone, some pieces of her hair. 22 days later, they find her on the side of the road. A man drives up. He calls 911. She had been missing for 22 days. She's got a chain around her. She's got bruises. She has a brand on her back. And she said that she had been kidnapped and then released. So the authorities are involved, obviously, because for 22 days, they're trying to find her. This is a mother of two. This is a wife. She's like the quintessential, like, perfect wife, which is why they called the documentary that. She's beautiful. She's blonde. So, of course, this got national attention, and it was everywhere. So now she's returned. She's being interviewed by authorities. The FBI gets involved because of this is a kidnapping and abduction. So her husband out the gate tells the local authorities, everybody's been telling me I need to get the FBI involved. So the feds are involved. So this is a huge deal. So for like 4 years, they're trying to find the people that kidnapped her. She said two Hispanic women pulled up, kidnapped her, took her back, blah, blah, blah. And then for whatever reason, released her. Well, come to find out, the two Hispanic women never existed. It was her ex-fiance that she was with. All right. So they go. The FBI, they hunt, they figure it all out because there was some DNA on her sweatpants. She never mentioned anything about a man being involved. It was always women. They find male DNA on sweatpants, and they figure out and they connect it back to James, her ex-fiance. So they go to him. He says that they had been communicating on burner phones. She had been having an emotional affair on her husband. And she had reached out to him to come pick her up. He goes and picks her up for 22 days. She stays with him. The brand that's on her back, he says she requested that he did that. He said she would like, she beat herself up, et cetera. Like,
how do you brand yourself on the back?
She doesn't. He did it, but she asked him to do that.
Okay.
She asked him to do that, but she did other things, right? So it all comes out. It goes to court. She's sentenced to a year in prison for lying. She has a bunch of money she has to pay back. And of course, the world hates her, right? Everybody hates her. Well, now fast forward to this year. She's ready to tell her side of the story. And she does a documentary with HBO Max called Sherry Papini, Caught in the Lie. There's a four-part series that I watched this weekend. So you're listening to her now tell her side of the story. And she says, listen, there are things I lied about. However, one thing is true. I was abducted. I was kidnapped. And I was abducted by my ex, James. And he did all these things to me.
I guess, unfortunately, if you lie about one thing, then everybody just assumes, well, if you lied about that one or two things, then how can we trust you with the rest of it?
So you're going to hear the trailer. And as you're watching the show, her psychologist is in it. There's also another outside psychologist, you know, saying that two things can be true at the same time. You can be a liar and you can also be a victim. Like, you know, her parents are in it, the authorities, the FBI that was the lead on it, and the other authorities. So you're getting all of his input. And then Sherry is telling like her side of the story for the very first time, everything that happened. And she's blaming it all on James.
Haven't you ever lied? And then has that lie been blown up? I went missing in 2016, was gone for 22 days. I was tortured, I was branded, I was chained to a wall. All of that is true. I did keep some secrets from you, though. It's a story full of betrayal and violence.
911 emergency.
There's a lady on the side of the road needing help.
Okay.
Sherry's not capable of the things that she's been accused of being.
Could this person be playing you?
He kind of has a habit of just disappearing.
There is not a motivation for financial gain here.
Nobody really knows what the real truth is.
I realized everything the media's been telling us is bullshit. It makes no sense.
She was given many opportunities to correct her version and to, quote unquote, come clean. She chose not to.
Once the U.S. government decides that they've got you in their sights, they're gonna get you.
In pictures, it looks perfect, like we were an amazing couple.
Keith and Sherry are both invested in the perfect wife concept.
We both participated in some pretty toxic behaviors.
When she got arrested, my first reaction was just like, oh, she's now the enemy.
Whatever you do from now on, you better have evidence because nobody's going to believe you.
The whole country turned against her.
She's a convicted liar.
If this is all true, then this is the desperate cries of somebody saying, I need to be heard.
I'm Sherry Papini. I was abducted and I was tortured and the FBI said I made it all up.
All right. I'd love to get Andrea on because we both watched it. She also, I want to tell everybody, Sherry Papini did a lie detector test. Like the documentary put her through a lot of stuff, right? Like she's like, I'm doing this to clear my name. She did a lie detector test and she passed a lot of it. So Andrea, after you watched that, do you believe her? Is she the victim or is she the villain?
I still believe that she's the villain. Yeah. I feel like it was so cruel what she did to her kids alone, and then the way that she just lied her way through it. I don't think that there's any way that she's credible, and I think she's just trying to win everybody back by putting up a sob story, basically.
Did you see at the end of the documentary when she was asking, do you think this is going to do more harm than good?
I don't know if I did, if I do remember seeing that part, sorry.
No, it's okay. It was like, it's the very last thing, because she's sitting there and she's being interviewed, and you can see her take a beat, and she's like, and she's asking the producers, do you think this is going to do more harm than good for my reputation?
So she's that concerned about it still.
Oh, yeah.
Is that your point?
Yeah, absolutely. It was just crazy because, and then after the lie detector test, because they're asking her this stuff, and there was some things that were still resonating as being deceptive, but there's other stuff that he's like, yeah, you're being truthful. Now, of course, lie detectors you have to take with a grain of salt, and that's the reason why they're not admissible in court, because they're not reliable. But this woman, what she is alleging against this guy, James, like, and what she's alleging against her husband and what she's saying about her husband, it's like, all right, well, yeah, you definitely lied about some stuff, but are you also the victim of an abduction? Like, who do you believe?
I'm confused as to what was her motive for lying in the first place.
Okay, so as far as a motive goes, she was caught talking to another man after they got married. Keith made her sign a postnuptial agreement that if he ever caught her cheating again, he was going to take her for everything and the kids. She was having an emotional affair with James. James was threatening to out it or whatever, so she went to meet him, and that's when he abducted her, and she couldn't say anything about James for fear of losing her kids.
Got it. Wow. What's the name of the show again?
It's okay. So the new one, the original is called Perfect Wife. That's her husband's side of the story. Now it's Sherry Papini caught in the lie, and it was just released on HBO Max. And you watch it, and like, is she the victim or is she the villain?
I'm going villain. There's
I'm going
no
villain too.
I feel like if you're going to lie about one thing to cover up your reputation, you will go to any lengths to try and skew the narrative. And that's what it sounds like to me.
The Burt Show.
You guys remember that time that I thought Post Malone had one arm?
he was just missing a hand, not an entire arm.
My bad. That's how the ADHD mind works, by the way. Right before we went on the air, yeah. I started chuckling about that. What an idiot.
Yeah.
So what a complete and total mind F in my house last night. I found myself so lonely last night. And it's such a bizarre thing. I think because I was running so hard last week on vacation with a bunch of really important events going on. My youngest son graduated high school. Okay. So there was that. Then there was running to Macon because he was playing in a state championship, his soccer team, which they won. Then it was his graduation party and birthday party also. And as I told you guys earlier, my son Hayden graduated from SCAD. So I was down in Savannah. That I think when things line up that quickly and you're so busy, it's really hard to embrace the moment. Because you have to be there, and then you have to be there, and then you have to be there. And you've got 100, literally 100 people in your house celebrating a birthday graduation party. And then you're working the logistics out on how you're going to get to this event and then that event. And you've got these canon events unfolding in front of your face, and you're not absorbing it because you're trying to get to some mythical finish line. Well, I think because I was in my house for a while last night alone, it hit me like a hammer that I'm very close to being like an empty nester. Like, normally on Sunday nights, Hollis, my youngest, because I'm divorced from Stacy, in our divorce agreement, he comes over at 4 o'clock. Yeah, he's 18 years old now. So that agreement tore up. Dude really gets to do what he wants when he wants to do it. And I'm not pressuring him. But there's no set schedule anymore. So as I'm in my house last night, nothing's really changed. There's some times that he's not there on Sunday nights. And Hayden's been in Savannah, so it's not like he's in my house all the time. But I'm sitting there last night, and I was just like so sad that that routine is going to be over. And I just felt so incredibly lonely. And I didn't have Amanda in the house either. She was at her place. And she, for different reasons, was feeling super lonely last night also and is going away for a couple of days. So she came on over to my house, and I haven't even shared this with her. I was so thankful when she said she was coming by because I felt so incredibly lonely last night on a situation that I have experienced 1,000 times before when he's not there on a Sunday night. But there was just something very different about last night.
Well, yeah, it's going to hit different because now that you've watched him graduate, now that you've watched him play in his final soccer game,
yeah,
you know that here in just a couple of months, he's going to be going off to college. Like, I think it's finally washing over you that, yeah, here very, very shortly, you're going to be an empty nester.
And I really thought that I was going to be absolutely fine with that. Like, I like my alone time, yet I don't like my alone time.
You always shock me when you say that because I'm like, have you met you?
I think I just like my alone time on my own timetable. That's it.
Maybe it's the fact you're able to enjoy your alone time because you know in the back of your mind they're coming back.
Yeah, that's it. I think maybe that's it. That's some of it right there.
It's a little different when it's like, okay, this is it.
Yeah, he may be back and he might not be for a couple of weeks. That I just don't know. And as I was sitting there last night and really absorbing that, these were truly the last. And as much as I try to embrace, like, you really have to be in, hey, doing a show. Yeah. you really have to embrace those moments, but it's almost impossible as life is running in front of you to really embrace it until it's all over, man.
Well, hey, maybe if you're lucky, Hollis will get a girl knocked up and you'll become a grandpa here in 9 months.
I'd rather be alone. I'd rather be alone.
The Bert Show.
Dante Walker received backlash for taking his trans son to prom. He got decked out in a suit. His son looking immaculate in their outfit. And he posted a video for all parents. And I think it is a beautiful PSA as we celebrate Pride Month.
I'm going to put it like this. I really don't care what y'all say on this post in the comments. I don't care. Any one of you who does not support your own child, your own offspring, your own seed in every dream and every aspiration of their life, you should never be a damn parent. I don't care whether it's your religious beliefs. I don't care what. I don't care if it's your ego, your pride. I don't care if it's the neighbors. None of that matters. If you do not support your own child in every aspect of their life, you shouldn't be a parent.
Happy Pride.
I mean, what do you say to that?
I covered it. 1,000% nailed it.
Right. All right, Abby, so it turns out you didn't need a sugar daddy as much as I want to find one for you. And I want to reemphasize this.
You were so passionate about this.
But I think that as Abby comes in here and she's struggling in the dating world just like you guys are, the bone I am trying to throw her here is finding a sugar daddy just to... Don't look at me like that. is just to alleviate this painful part of dating with a dude that doesn't want anything except her personality, maybe a dinner, and pay her bills.
Yeah, if it's a sugar daddy, there's not going to be a lot of bones.
Damn.
He's going to be old.
That's the only how it works.
Yikes. Yeah, we've been doing this whole bit where we've been trying to find me a sugar daddy, and we've recruited a team of the sugar daddy Avengers who have called in, the sugar daddy Avengers that I've been in contact with over
text. Sugar babies.
The sugar babies who I've been in contact with, giving me the tips and tricks on how to lure one in. And weirdly enough, I don't know if I just have like this new energy about me because we've been talking about it and maybe like there's something about my aura that has shifted, but I somehow managed to snag thousands of dollars in free alcohol just within the last week without even trying. Completely effortless.
Maybe that's the key, without even trying.
Yeah, I need to try less.
Yes. Try easier.
Oh, no, I hate that. I'm such a try hard. It's worked for me this far. Like I love putting in effort.
Has it?
Yeah, maybe not. I'm here, am I not?
What do you consider work?
I'm on your show. Okay. So last weekend.
You could do better than this show.
Yeah, I'm going to have to at some point. last week, it was Memorial Day weekend and I was making plans. You know, we already talked about going out to Alpharetta with some P1s and we were hanging out, having a good time, having some drinks together. And then Saturday, I actually had some plans with the Burt Show Youth Group. It was supposed to be me, Jackson, Rebecca, Mikey's girlfriend. We were going to hang out at Jackson's Midtown rooftop pool. It was going to be a great time. It was sunny. It was gorgeous out. We were going to hang. We're going to be young, debaucherous kids. And then somewhere along the way, the plans fall through. But I'm in a good mood. The sun was shining. Woke up feeling skinny. I was like, someone needs to see me. So I was like, I'm going to dress up. I'm going to put a full face of makeup on. I'm going to put a cute outfit on. And I'm just going to sit at a bar and I'm going to enjoy myself. So there's this restaurant in Buckhead down the street from me called Yepa. And if you've ever been to Yepa, you know it's like a very social Italian restaurant. There's a big bar in the middle. Like you go there to eat, like the food's good, but it is very much like a social restaurant. So I'm like, I'm going to sit there. Maybe I'll chat with somebody. Maybe I won't. Who cares? I'm going to enjoy some Prosecco and then I can go home so I can feel like I did something on my Memorial Day weekend because I didn't have any plans for the rest of the weekend. So Saturday's my last shot. Got to do something. So I sit at the bar. I order a glass of sparkling rosé. I'm like, this is delightful. Wearing my cute new outfit from this place I rent clothes from called Newly. It's a little flower set. Feeling all good about myself. And then in slides next to me in the bar stool to the right of me is a sweet little old man. His name is Donnell. And we were hanging out and chatting and he's a man in his 60s. He's a single guy. He literally looked at me and he goes, you know, I sat down next to you because I'm like, this is a woman sitting alone and she's fine. And then he proceeded to call me an 8. And I was like, okay, that's not, would you say, you could have at least lied and said a 9.5. Like we both, you and I both know I'm not Gisele Bündchen, but you know, at least flatter me a little bit while we're sitting here.
An 8 is not flattering?
I mean,
you don't say that.
It's like solid.
It's like saying you got a B. You know what I mean? Like, am I mad about it? No, it's, you know, it's above passing. But if you're trying to flatter me, you don't gas me up by saying you're above average.
I get, 8 is a really good score. But you don't say it out loud to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you and I both know I'm a 7.5.
I can see that.
But you can vocalize it.
If you're a stranger, you sit down and be like, girl, you look like a 10 out of 10 today. You know what I'm saying? You don't be like, I'm going to give you an 8. I'm not going to tell you why I docked 2 points. Okay. Like, that's just weird.
Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I can see it with 8.
I get it.
It's like getting a math test back that you studied really hard for and thought you aced. And I'm like a B minus.
It's not that hard to lie in that situation.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it. So, and we actually had this lovely conversation. So he's a single guy in his 60s. He's divorced. And we were talking about what it's like to date in this day and age. And weirdly enough, we're kind of going through the same things because we're both on the dating apps, even though we're in very different stages in our life. And it was just very cool to have a conversation to hear about like what the kind of woes an old man in his 60s is having as he's dating. And it was a very, very cool conversation.
Are they any different than somebody that's younger?
I think what was interesting, I think it was more of the gender thing. Like he talked a lot about some of the qualms that he has with women where he feels like a lot of women expect perfection from the men that they're dating. And he said that he's really struggled with feeling like I'm just trying my best here. I'm like, well, you called me an 8. So, I mean, you're also very critical. So look in the mirror, buddy. But anyway, we had this lovely conversation and, you know, kind of exchanged details about dating. And then at the end of the conversation, he wraps up. He's like, I'm going to get your tab. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. I think that was my first sugar baby experience, considering he's an older gentleman who just paid for me.
Right.
I'm like, wasn't so hard.
Okay.
Then the next couple nights, you know, the Braves have been playing in town the last couple of weekends. And my friend Taylor was out at a bar. She was at PBR where we had Mikey's last ride with the mechanical bull. And this is a fun bar to go to, you know, if you're in the right mood. You got to be a little tipsy. You got to be in the mood to dance to some country music. And I was like, you know what? I'll show up for a little bit. I've been out with some friends. Let's end the night the right way. So I show up to PBR. We're at the dance floor, you know, somebody is, you know, Luke Combs is playing in the background. We're dancing. And I'm like, where's Taylor? Where is she at? And I text her. I'm like, hey, we're looking for you. She texts me. She goes, hey, I snuck into VIP. You want to come join? And I'm like, you snuck into VIP? You can't. There's security. You can't just sneak into VIP. So I'm on the dance floor. I move back to the back where the VIP section is. You know, it's kind of like elevated and there's gates and there's a big security guard and, you know, he's staring you down. And she waves me over. She's like, come on in, come on in. I'm like, no, the police is right here. They're not going to let me in. And then the two guys that I guess that had purchased the VIP section, they waved me over and they're like, get on in here. I'm like, okay. So look at my friend Taylor. I'm like, how'd you sneak in here? How'd you get invited in this? And she said, all you have to do is just dance really hot by VIP. And these guys just invite you over. The two guys that were running the VIP section were literally just like two friends from college that wanted to hang out in the VIP section at PBR and spend $2,000 on tequila, Tito's, gin of some kind. And all they wanted from us was just to be there. They were making out with girls from the next section. They didn't even talk to us. I said, hey, my name's Abby. They're like, we don't care. Enjoy the tequila. And I'm like, I think I done did it. I scammed my way into a rinse worth amount of alcohol this weekend. So I might not even need the sugar baby bit.
Didn't have to give out phone numbers, no strings attached.
They wanted nothing to do with this 8. It's great. It's great to be an 8.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The only person having a better day today than Taylor Swift, who is now the proud owner of all of her albums, all of the music she's ever put out, is none other than newly found billionaire Hailey Bieber. So Hailey Bieber recently sold her company Rode, which is a skincare brand, and also they have, you know, lip glosses. So it's like Rode Cosmetics. She recently sold it to Elf Cosmetics for $1 billion. I cannot think of a better time for this news to come out for her, because recently Justin Bieber, her husband, went on the record on his own Instagram when she made the cover of Vogue and said, yeah, well, we are in a very contentious fight. I told Hailey that she would never be on the cover of Vogue, but you know, I was wrong. And then a week later, she sells her own company for $1 billion. Personally, I love this for her.
I don't know what's going on with this couple. I hope they make it. But I'm wondering now, if now that her finances are way more than what he has. We've heard he's on the struggle bus. Part of the reason why he's had to sell a lot of his music and stuff like that. Now that she is financially the one that's on top and he's not, I wonder if his ego can handle that, and if this is truly going to have an effect on their marriage.
Well, it's weirdly enough, it's been a good thing for Hailey Bieber, because I feel like because there were so many stands for Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez's relationship, it really it came hard down on Hailey Bieber. Like, I remember she was at the Met Gala one year and people were shouting Selena's name at her. And I just know that was such a hard position to be in. And now it's almost like the girls have rallied around Hailey Bieber online. Like, we've seen kind of the way it appears that Justin treats Hailey. We're not looking at it with envy, I'll put it that way. And now that we've seen her become a billionaire, I don't know what her net worth is now, but she now has so much leverage that we're like, girl, leave him. We're like, divorce him. Like, I can't think of anything that would be better for her from a PR perspective than to divorce him. But obviously, so much easier said than done. We don't know the intimacies of that relationship. They also just welcomed a son into the world, Jack Blues Bieber. But the girls are kind of like, Hailey, now that you have the cash and the capital to be able to be financially independent, and she is still retaining a role at her company, girl, if you want to, like, we'll support you. We'll be here for you.
Aside from that wildly inappropriate caption that he did when she got her Vogue cover, has there been any issue with their relationship?
A lot of people have noticed in photographs just the way he treats her. Like, the reason why girls will get so excited about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's relationship, or like ASAP Rocky and Rihanna, it's like we see that these guys are really stepping up to be gentlemen for their women, despite being very powerful men that typically, you know, like Justin Bieber, can kind of just get away with doing whatever. Like, when we see Rihanna and ASAP Rocky on the Cannes red carpet and he's holding the umbrella for her, or we see Travis Kelce get out of the car and like grab Taylor Swift like she's a football, you know, like has the football grip on his lady. Like, we see that and we want to rally behind these relationships. And then when we see Justin Bieber, who for all intents and purposes was a heartthrob for a lot of us growing up, we see the way they're photographed together, where like Justin will get out of a car and then like slam the car door behind him before Hailey even has the chance to get out.
He's always walking like 3-4 feet in front of her.
He's always walking in front of her and kind of just storming his way into the restaurant or wherever they're going. And you know, I get that, like, to an extent you've probably gotten sick of the paparazzi for these years that you've been a famous person, so I'm sure there's some mental health problems there, and maybe he just wants to get inside as soon as possible. But for us, when we see that over and over and over again, I think to a point we start to kind of empathize with Hailey as if she's a friend. Like, we've all had that friend that has been in a terrible relationship that she thinks is great, and she's with him for whatever reason, and maybe, you know, he's a really like top tier guy status wise and that's why you're with them. And so I think that's why when this sale came through, a lot of us were like, girl, now you're like, you're the bigger star than Justin, so get out of there.
Do you also think the way Benny Blanco treats Selena Gomez comes into play?
Benny Blanco is a huge thing too. And I'm not sure if it plays into their Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber's relationship at all. But I mean, I would add him into the list of like guys that we have seen really uplift these women that we've been fans of for so long, that like you start to have love for that guy too, even if you didn't even know who Benny Blanco was, despite him being a very, very huge music producer in the industry. Like, we see that and we're like, suddenly I'm a Benny Blanco fan. So I think it just kind of all comes into one thing, where it's like, now that you have the capital and the star power and the status to get out, like, why wouldn't you? But that's obviously up to Hailey Bieber for sure. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Y'all gotta let me know if this is a thing, because this is the first I've ever heard of this, and I don't know if this is a new thing for weddings, if this has been a thing, or if this is not a thing and this bride has done lost her mind. But I came across a video, a reel on Instagram, and a woman is asking for people's opinion on her outfit, right? She's a guest at a wedding and she wants to know if the dress that she has picked is going to be appropriate for the wedding. And then she lists off what the attire is. So yeah, black tie makes sense, or fancy or casual, like that kind of stuff I've heard. But I want you to listen to what the attire is for the guest and how specific it is.
I need honest thoughts about this as a potential wedding guest dress. You can be brutal, you can be honest. I just need to figure it out ASAP. Okay, the theme we were given is formal, Italian, countryside, and one of the color options is deep, moody earth tones.
So Again, black tie, Italian countryside, deep, moody earth tones. That was the dress code for the wedding.
I'm going right to ChatGPT to design it for me. And secondly, I already feel bad for the wedding planner, because if that's the theme, can you imagine all the other particulars that she had lined up?
Is that normal? That's becoming the new trend.
No, it's not.
No,
it's,
seriously. Like, that's the new thing. Like, I remember I got invited to a wedding where the dress code was any blues and natural hues. So, yeah, no, like, it can be anything. And the point of it, I'm sure you're wondering, okay, why do the guests need to wear a certain type of dress or a certain type of color scheme? And it's because I feel like weddings have become such a photographable and shareable event for people. Like, yes, of course, it's about the big day, but people want their photographs to look magazine worthy. And when your guests kind of fit the color scheme of the venue, it just photographs better.
No, see, okay, listen, Lisa. Linda, listen. Like, I have a pseudo uncle, right? And he would not be able to attend if that was the attire. He wore jeans and a leather jacket, all right? Like, that's just who the dude is. Like, if you can't invite people to your wedding and appreciate them for who they are, then why are you inviting them to your wedding? And why are you putting that kind of parameters on their attire?
So I think I have organically eliminated anybody in my life that would have this kind of high maintenance wedding. A whole group of people, actually. So I think it's a personality type. If you are making that demand of your guests, you're high maintenance and you're hanging out with high maintenance people that would be like, oh, this is going to be fun.
I just feel like the day is special for you. Like, so you should have to jump through the hoops and the hurdles of what you want your wedding to look like. Like, not me. It should be very convenient and simple for me to be your guest.
Some of us are looking for a reason not to attend.
Exactly. And that's a really good one.
That's it.
That's a perfect one.
To be fair, like, if I'm having a wedding, God willing, one day, it's my party. And if you're hosting a party and let's say it's like a fall party or something. And I'm like, maybe it's a Halloween party or something. And there's a dress code or you're expected to wear something along those lines that fit the theme. What makes a wedding any different? It's still a party that I'm hosting. There is a theme. Maybe it is Italian countryside. Maybe they're trying to go for like a Tuscan look. Dress accordingly to the theme of the party.
I know these people, not her specifically, but I was invited to go with a specific group of people on an island vacation by one couple. And every other night was a different theme. So you had to bring like red and something on a Monday. Then on Wednesday, it was a different color. And Thursday was a different theme. Too high maintenance.
My theme would be absent.
Yeah.
that would be my theme.
RSVP, no.
Bert, yeah. You are spot on. I went to ChatGPT and I typed in the theme, the Italian theme, the earth tones and all that. And it came back with some dresses, links to dresses. Now, I will say, if you do this for yourself, make sure you put your budget in there, because yeah. I did not. And it came back with a dress that's $6,250. The lowest price one is $1,175. And they're designer dresses. It's like Valentino and Abito Alberta Ferretti.
I am floored that this is actually a thing. Like, when I heard that, because I was just looking at her dress, and it's a cute, and she is, by all means, she definitely should wear the dress, because it was formal, Italian, countryside, muted earth tones. Like, the green was perfect. But that is wild. And I love a theme. If you throw a party, I am dressing up. Like, I threw my friend a bridal shower, and she named her daughter Wren, so it was all about birds. Did I buy a dress with birds on it? Damn straight I did. That's the kind of person I am. So I get it, and I appreciate that. But to, like, mandate that of your guest is just wild to me.
I think mandating might be a strong word. Like, the wedding I was invited to, that was any blues and natural hues. She was like, this is just a guideline. Like, if you show up in purple, like, am I going to kick you out of the wedding? No. But she's like, it's my day. The whole theme is blue. I would love for the photos to turn out well. So if you're deciding between a purple dress and a blue dress, just pick the blue one, please.
That sounds way more casual than what Kristen's talking about, though.
My thing is, if you get invited to this Italian countryside wedding, what's changing about it? You're wearing a suit no matter what.
Yeah.
For the women, we love a theme. We got to have something that makes it a little bit easier to choose one of the 1,000 dresses online. I think it's it's a good way to almost make your decisions easier.
All right, so let's stick with weddings here because we got an email from a Burt Show listener that's wondering if she's going to be an a-hole for not attending her son's wedding.
Hey, I need some help slash advice. My 30-year-old son has been dating a 28-year-old woman for 8 years. Let me give you some background. I had a cyst in a joint of my finger, which turned into sepsis. Surgery was in March, and I didn't see him till 6 weeks after. We flew to Hawaii in May for my grandson's high school graduation, as well as my son-in-law's retirement from the Navy after serving 22 years. My son proposed and didn't say anything to his side of the family. Her family was there. Schedules didn't gel for us all to ever get there together. Fast forward to a few weeks ago, he brought us an invitation to the reception, not the wedding. He said he only wanted people close to the two of them. Would I be an a-hole if I didn't go to the reception? My mama heart is broken.
Oof. Ooh.
Oh. It's a short email.
You feel like you need more details?
Well, I don't need more details, but I feel like there are more details there. This is obviously a very complicated relationship between a mother and her child. If your child gives you an invitation to the reception and not the ceremony, that is speaking volumes about your relationship.
Something happened.
And if you are even considering as the parent not attending the reception because you are upset you didn't get invited to the ceremony, I think that's also speaking volumes. My mama heart, too, would be broken. I hope I would never get to a point with my son that would even be the case. But am I going to the reception? Yes. And I'm going to the reception in the hopes of mending whatever is broken. That way I will be at future events like, I don't know, the birth of my grandchild.
Yeah, something's going on here we don't know about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's tough with these details. But if I'm I would be hurt for sure, but I'm still going. I remember when my parents got married, they went and did it privately, didn't tell anybody, and just came home and was like, we're married. And I felt the way. I was like, really? And then they invited me to the reception, and I remember being hurt, but I still showed up. And if I was this mom, I would do the same thing.
For me, I'm showing up. And I think this is a good opportunity for some, maybe not self-reflection, but family reflection. Like, what has happened in your past? What has happened in the history of your family, in the history of your relationship with your son that has gotten you guys to this point? Maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's his fault. We don't know the details. Like we said, it's a very short email, but I'm showing up. I'm not cutting off my nose to spite my face. And I'm going to have a good time in hopes that, yeah, they don't cut me off for the important stuff, like the birth of my grandchild.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.